Please open your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 12. And I'm going to direct your attention to verse 2. This is how the word of God does read. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may be able to prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. This morning, I'm going to use this verse to teach on the topic, put up a fence. Let us seek the Lord in prayer. Holy Father, we give thanks this morning for the mercy that thou hast richly bestowed upon us. Holy Father, be thou now glorified as thy word is open. Lord Jesus, I pray for illumination. I pray for clarity of speech. I commit now the declaration of thy word to thee, our Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I am an avid sports fan. Every time I have the opportunity to sit down and watch TV, you don't have to guess which channel I will be watching. Yes, I'll be watching a sports channel. And over the years, I've come to notice one common thread in virtually every sporting game that I watch. And that is the importance of the defense. Though there are always two sides to a game of sports, the offense and the defense. But the key to victory is not often the offense, but the defense. You know, the most potent offense will always struggle when it comes up against the great defense. As someone rightly said, offense sells tickets, but defense wins championships. But you know, it is not only true from a physical perspective that defense wins championship. It is also true from a spiritual perspective. As Christians, by virtue of our one newness in Christ Jesus, we are by default engaged in a spiritual battle. The arch enemy of God, who is also our arch enemy, the devil, is on a mission to sabotage, a mission to destroy, a mission to derail God's plan for our lives. And the Apostle John will put it well in John 10 and 10, when he said the devil comes as a thief to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, the key to victory in this spiritual warfare is not necessarily the offense. It's not necessarily seeking to go find the devil and attack him. The Lord does that on our behalf. Rather, the key to victory in spiritual warfare is the defense. If you have your Bibles, if you look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, the Apostle Paul writing about spiritual warfare, he will begin to say this in verse 10. He said, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Please pay attention here to three instructions the Apostle Paul lays down in verse 10 and verse 11. The first then is that he said, be strong in the Lord. The second is said, in the strength of his might. And the third is said, put on the full armor of God. All of these three are actually preparatory in nature. Preparatory not for attack, but actually for the defense. In other words, so that we may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. It is the devil that launches his schemes, but we take this defensive posture that we may be able to stand firm against the evil one. Then the Apostle Paul will go further, beginning at verse 14, to lay out for us the armor that he wants us to put on. He said, beginning at verse 14, he says, stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Six armor that Apostle Paul exhorts us to take on. And all those six are actually defensive in nature. The exception might be the sword of the Spirit, but the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, is not really an offensive weapon. It's actually a defensive weapon. So what we can now see and surmise here in that in the victory, the key to victory in spiritual warfare is actually in the defense, not necessarily in the offense. Now, while every Christian must maintain this defensive posture in every aspect of our lives as it relates to spiritual warfare, there is, however, one place where we must have to be more stringent in this defense than any other place. There is one place that we must have to put up the most stringent defense, and that has to do with our mind. You know, in our unregenerate state, our mind was metaphorically the devil's workshop. It was the stronghold of the devil. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 3, the Apostle Paul will write this. He said, "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." Again, watch verse 4. The devil, who is the God, quote unquote, or the ruler of this world, has blinded not the eyes, but the minds of the unbelievers. So unregenerate people, those who don't know Jesus, their minds have been blinded. The devil blinds their mind so that they don't see, they don't understand, they can't comprehend the things of God. But when salvation now enters into our experience, God now removes that blindness of our minds, that we can now understand. We that are natural can now become spiritual, and we can understand the things of God. That is what regeneration is. However, this will not stop or has not stopped the devil from seeking to reclaim that which is his workshop. Again, I want you to watch what I said. Simply because you and I have been regenerated, we've become a new creation in Christ. This does not stop the enemy from seeking to want to go back into that workshop, into that place of stronghold that he wants to hold us down. That is in our minds. This is why it is important for us as believers to constantly seek to protect our minds. It must be the utmost priority of our spiritual life in this spiritual battle. We must be able to guide our minds from the influence and the corruption that comes through sin initiated by the devil. But then the pointed question this morning is this: how then do we go about protecting our minds from the influence and the corruption of sin initiated by the devil? This is precisely what I want to attempt this morning, loved ones, to bring forth from the pages of scriptures, because I believe God wants us to understand how to protect our minds from the influence and corruption of sin. Now, as a backdrop, let me first of all set something in context, the definition. Let me first establish what I call the biblical definition of the mind. What exactly does the Bible mean when the Bible speaks of the mind? Now, let's do some word study here, everybody. Grammatically, in the Hebrew Old Testament, the word kiyah is usually translated mind. And literally, it actually means kidney. Because from the Hebrew mindset, kidney is probably the most inner organ. And they take that to mean that the kia, which is represented by the mind, is the seat of thought and emotion of the inner person. In the Greek New Testament, the word nous is actually translated. There are other words, but the word nous is more translated as the word mind. And it literally means mental perception, thought, or intellect. So let me give you a biblical definition of what the mind is. The mind can be defined simply as the seat of our will or emotion, or the seat of our personality. Now, again, I want you to watch what I'm saying this morning. The mind is not only your mental capacity. It includes your mental capacity. But from the biblical perspective, it transcends the mental capacity. It actually has to do with that which arouses your will, your emotions. And when you begin to look through the Old Testament and the New Testament, the word mind is used interchangeably most times with the word heart. In other words, at times in the Hebrew Old Testament, you can see the interchange of the use of this word. But all of those communicate one single thought of the innermost desire, the will, the emotion of a person. In essence, when the Bible speaks of the mind, the Bible is referring to the command center of our being. Again, you want to write this down. When the Bible speaks of your mind, the Bible is referring to the command center of your being and my being. This is the overarching reason why the devil is so interested in influencing and corrupting our mind. You know, let me break it down even further for you. Watch this. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7, Solomon will say this. He said, "For as he thinks within him, so is he." What Solomon is saying here is simple. You know, the way you and I think will eventually reflect in our action. In other words, the way we think will eventually be the way we'll act. If you want to get a person to do wrong, start by getting them to think wrong. This was exactly what happened during the Second World War, wasn't it? When Adolf Hitler began to engage in this negative diabolic propaganda designed to get the people to think wrong. And when he got the people to think wrong, they began to act wrong. The same thing we see in the genocide in Rwanda. The stories of the Hutus and the Tutsis. The Hutus were engaged in this negative propaganda that ultimately led the people to begin to massacre the Tutsis. So you can see from here that the way you think often reflect in the actions that you perform. And the devil is a master of this strategy. He knows this strategy all too well. This was the strategy he used in the Garden of Eden. It was the strategy of the mind to manipulate her thinking in such a way that she will begin to think wrong. And when she thought wrong, she will act wrong. That is why the command center, your mind and my mind, is so strategic for the devil. He wants to capture that. He wants to hold that in captivity. He knows that if he can influence and corrupt our minds, he can influence our action. And I tender to you this morning, loved ones, Watch all that is taking place in our homes. Destruction of marriages. I can go back and look at some and see that it began with the influencing of the man with negativity, influencing of the man with corruption, and then the person that you promised to love for the rest of your life become repulsive to you. What about in the church? The devil can influence minds in such a way that it will make brothers and sisters turn against one another. Instead of love, we will be showing animosity and resentment to was one another. It's all the strategic plan of the devil. That is why we keep saying that the mind is the epic center of spiritual battle. And listen to me, everybody. You want to win this battle, you need to win the battle of the mind. Once you win the battle of the mind, you are on your way to winning this spiritual battle with the enemy. I'm not saying it won't come in different ways, but if you can put a fence around your mind, if you can, you can barricade your mind and put a no trespass zone on your mind, and your mind can be in the right place, you will see that your actions will be in the right place and you'll be glorifying to God. And that's why the Bible reminds us that we must have this attitude. We must have this mind, which was also in Christ Jesus. But this morning, let me back up. How do we then protect our mind in this area of spiritual warfare? How do we protect our minds from the influence and corruption of sin that comes through the enemy? Well, I believe the Bible has an answer this morning, and there is indeed a balm in Gilead, healing for our souls. And here we go. I believe to begin to win the battle of the mind, to protect your mind from in this spiritual warfare, you need to begin with one of the armor that Paul described in Romans chapter, in Ephesians chapter 6, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. You need to constantly renew your mind through the study and meditation of the Word of God. Again, I need to repeat that. Constantly renew your mind through the study and meditation of the Word of God. In Romans chapter 6, in Romans chapter 12, verse beginning of verse 2, the Apostle Paul again will write to us. He said, do not be conformed to this world. Watch that. That's the negative. That's the probation. But the Paul did not leave that at that place. He didn't say, do not just be conformed to this world. Rather, he goes forth. He said, but be transformed. How do you become transformed? By the renewing of your mind. That is what the Apostle Paul is trying to get to here, so that you may be able to prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. You go to Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 22. Again, the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. He said to them, he said, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, that you may be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It is the renewal of the mind that begins now to help you guard your mind and protect your mind from the invasion of negativity, of the influence of the enemy, of the corruption that comes through the lie of the enemy. And now, let me even break it further down for you. Let me help you understand this. You know, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, does two things, I believe, in each one of us. First of all, I believe the Word of God is like a cleansing agent. What do I mean by that? The Word of God, when we begin to ingest it, it begins to cleanse us. It begins to cleanse us from the inside out, be able to cleanse us from filthiness, be able to cleanse us from iniquity. That is why I believe David will say, thy word have I treasured in my heart, so as not to sin against thee. Because when the word of God is in the heart, when it's in the mind, it transforms us. It begins to cleanse us. It cleanses us from all that is evil. It cleanses us from all that is wrong, and begin to, because the word of God is Spirit and the Word of God is life. So when we take it in and we devote ourselves to the study and meditation of Scripture, the Spirit of God becomes alive within us. We begin now to love God more and understand His word more. But there's a second thing which I believe the word of God does. The more we ingest the word of God, the more we are able now to focus and to focus on the purpose and the will of God for us in this life. You know, the word of God helps us to refocus. What do I mean by that? You know, we're so combated in this world with so much stuff. You know, so much images, so much words, so much stuff going into our head. And at times it's so easy to lose sight of the main thing. And what the word of God does is help us to make the main thing the main thing. The word of God helps us to seek first the kingdom of God and all of His righteousness. That is the power of the sword of the Spirit. That is the power of the word of God. But it's not always an easy task, is it? We know it's not. Because one thing the devil loves to do the most is to get you so busy that you hardly have time to study the word. I know I'm not preaching to the choir because I know some of you looking at me know what I'm talking about. Because you don't have time for the word of God. You don't have time to take time to meditate on the scripture, to reflect on the truth of God, to let it permeate your soul. You don't have the time to do that, but you have all the time to do other things. Some stays on TikTok for hours a day, watching absolutely garbage. Some stay on the Instagram watching absolutely garbage. Stay on your Facebook page watching absolutely garbage. I say garbage because that is the kind of time you could have invested in the study of the Word of God. But the devil is so clever, he pulls us in different directions. That is why I believe being able to constantly renew our mind through the Word of God requires intentionality, requires a disciplined spiritual life that you have time set aside. Where you go into the word of God, you take a pen and a paper, you write down what the Spirit of God lays on your heart through the scripture you've read, and use that to meditate on the word of God all day. You drive in your vehicle and you turn your channel to a Christian ministry where you can be fed, your soul can be renewed. That is part of renewing your mind because you are constantly being fed the word of God. You turn to your television instead of you watching the junk that comes on our television. You look at something that is going to and build into your soul some assurance of the presence of the Spirit of God. That is, my brothers and sisters, the first way the Bible lays out for us to protect our minds. The second is this. In order for us to protect our minds against spiritual warfare, we need to secure all points of entrance of unhealthy influences. Again, watch what I just said. Secure all point of entry of unhealthy influences. You know, if you have ever had a rodent problem, those little Mickey Mouse running throughout the house, which we all don't like, you know, it's good to always put down some glue traps so that it can catch all these little Jerry's or Mickey Mouse run around the house, right? That's great. But that doesn't solve the problem. That is why when you call a pest control person, what the first thing they will do is to look for the source and the point of entrance. They look for that point of entrance. What they try to do, they try to secure the point of entrance because they understand that no matter how much, if you don't secure the point of entrance, once they come in, you get one or two, they will still come in through the same place. But once that point is secured, then they can deal with those that are inside, those little Mickey Mouse on the inside. They can deal with them and eradicate your problem. The same is true spiritually. The same is true when it comes to your mind. You must intentionally block, seal every single point of unhealthy influence in your life. Now, this might be a tall task, a tall order for some people here, because you might say, Pastor Wally, I don't know what it is. But let me ask you a few questions. You know, what exactly are you seeing or getting into your spirit that you might say, Lord Jesus, sit with me on this seat. Let us watch it together. You know, ask yourself that question. Can you truly, if the Lord Jesus, this hypothetical, by the way, if the Lord Jesus was here in your living room in person, can you sit down and watch all those things that are purely X-rated and think, you know what, that's just good? They're unhealthy. The music you listen to, they can be unhealthy. The books you read can be unhealthy. You must look for all those unhealthy angles, all those unhealthy entrances, all those things that deposit something in your soul. And I tell people this every time. Listen to me, loved ones. Behind every message, there is a mega message. Behind every message, at times, there is an attempt to desensitize you. There's an attempt to indoctrinate you. That is why you must be careful, because some of those unhealthy influences are so subtle. They're so subtle that people don't even think about it. You know, you watch some things and you get emotional about it. But the question is this, is what you're watching glorifying Jesus? Is it honoring the Lord? Is it promoting holiness? Is it promoting that which God's agenda is all about? Or is it meeting your own physical need or this worldly desire? Ask yourself that as a Christian. Whatever is unhealthy, whatever will begin to take your mind away from that which is true, begin to indoctrinate you into that which is unholy, begin to desensitize you. And may I remind you, there is a lot of desensitization taking place today via the music, via the television, via the internet. You as a believer, if you keep ingesting those things into your mind, what you are actually doing is that you're opening the door for the enemy to come to influence the way you think, to influence the decision you make. That is why you see Christians today, they begin to think like the world. They say, that is not too bad. They love one another. Pastor Wally, you can say to me that is bad. It's all good. Why? Because of this notion of desensitization, because of this notion of indoctrination, because they don't understand the power of unhealthy influences. You need to seal every door of unhealthy entrances. That is why the Lord Jesus was able to tell us in Matthew chapter 5. He said, listen, if your eye will cause you to sin, pluck it out. Deal rigorously with it. You need to deal with those unhealthy influences to be able to secure your mind. Because remember, the devil's desire is to get control, influence, corrupt that command center, because he knows if he can corrupt that command center, your action will be revealed through that, in that corruption. There's a third and final thing this morning I'm going to share with you all. How do I, as a believer, protect my mind in this area of spiritual warfare? You need to protect your mind by intentionally thinking positive. You need to think positive. In Philippians chapter 4, begin at verse 8, the Apostle Paul will write, he said, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on those things. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Watch what the Apostle Paul is saying. I truly believe why the Apostle Paul wrote this is simple. Because he understands the power of the mind, the ability of the enemy to throw into our mind this flaming sparrows, these flaming missiles, so that it can get us to want to think wrong. It might get us to want to act wrong. But he said, listen, you must intentionally do something. What is that? You must intentionally think positive. You know, no matter what sign, you know, and this is what I always tell people, you know, no matter what sign is in your front lawn, no matter if you put a sign that do not solicit, beware of dogs, you cannot really stop anybody from knocking at your door. And that's what the enemy is. We know at times we can't stop that fire missile from coming, but guess what? You can repel it by thinking positive. You can repel it by having positive thought. You can succeed by being able to intentionally begin to think positive. Pastor Wally, give me some example of positive thinking. Positive thinking has to do with meditating on the goodness of God. You know, have you ever got up in the morning and you begin to just reflect on the goodness of God, His blessing upon your life, His mercy upon your life? That is thinking of something that is pure. Or perhaps you begin to think about the blessing of your family, the blessing of your loved ones. Or you begin to meditate even on your vision as God has called you to a greater vision. Or if not, that is not the case, you begin to meditate on how do I help others to be better? How do I become an helping unto others? How do I love my brother more? Those are positive things. This is what Paul is saying, reflect on. He said, whatever is honorable, whatever is of good repute, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on those things, but it requires intentionality. It requires you as a believer constantly buffeting your mind, constantly choosing to put blinders on, constantly choosing to see the good in people. And it's so easy. I lay down to your loved ones this morning. It's so easy to always see the bad in people. But listen, if you begin to see the bad in people, that is not positive thinking. Because guess what? You will begin to look at them from the face, from that point of badness, and that would be the way you will think towards them. But you got to turn it around. Turn it around. Listen, loved ones, we can win this battle of the mind, but it takes intentionality. The devil will not relent. The devil will keep coming. And you can write it down. The devil won't back down. It will keep coming. It will keep coming. Like the Energizer battery. It will keep coming. It will keep coming. But you as a Christian, you can put these three defenses in place. And the Bible now teaches us, when we put these defenses in place with the indwelling Holy Spirit within us, the victory is guaranteed. Loved ones, this morning, I challenge each one of you listening to me, put up a fence. Put up a fence around your mind. Your mind is the command center of your being. As your mind goes, so goes you. You put up a fence, and the Lord will fight for you. Our Father and our God, this morning I do.